Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, here with Mr. Dennis Hart.
Good to be here with you again, Ursula, on this Monday. You know, rainy days and Mondays usually get me down, but not when I'm here.
Well, wet and stormy weather is expected to continue until this evening, but skies should clear overnight, and pretty soon we're going to be seeing a lot of sun. It's going to be pretty much staying sunny for the rest of the week, with temperatures in the 70s during the days and 50s in the nights.
Sounds very good. And this being a gloomy Monday, we're going to look ahead to next Monday, which is Labor Day. And in honor of that, we're going to bring you some presidential candidates' approaches to labor issues expressed recently in Des Moines at a forum hosted by the Iowa Federation of Labor. Plus, Crystal Davis from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau going to be joining us later to give us a preview of what to do in this area this coming September. But first, let's get into a news summary, as we usually do on Mondays, from around the state of Iowa during the past week, and there was plenty of news indeed. Headed by the latest happenings involving two major Iowa crime stories that had made nationwide news. Here in Ames last Friday, the homeless man who admitted fatally stabbing Iowa State University student Celia Barkane Arosemena was sentenced to life in prison without parole. Earlier, 22-year-old Colin Richards had submitted a letter to the court in which he said, in his words, "I want the family and you to know I'm sorry." The judge told Richards on Friday, in her words, "There's no excuse for your actions." Barkane Arosemena was also 22. She was a civil engineering student and one of Iowa State's best golfers ever when she was killed at the Coldwater Golf Links last year. Her death shocked this community. Her family wrote a statement that was read in court on Friday. In part, it said, "We are deeply moved and touched to see how dear she was to Ames, the city that made her so happy during the last years of her life, and which she came to consider her second home." There were about three dozen people in the Story County courtroom when that statement was read on Friday. Most of them cried. In another high-profile case, the man accused of killing University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts appeared in court again on Friday, and when he did, defendant Christian Bahena Rivera waived his right to a speedy trial. The judge then confirmed that Bahena Rivera's trial would start in Woodbury County on November 12th. Another hearing will be held before that on October 22nd, where his lawyers will argue that certain information authorities obtained when Bahena Rivera was questioned should not be used at trial. And in another court case, it was reported that the former star of The Bachelor TV show, Chris Soules of Iowa, had agreed to a suspended prison sentence of 2 years and to serve 2 years probation for his role in a 2017 traffic crash that killed a Northeast Iowa man. Soules originally was charged with leaving the scene of a deadly accident, which could have landed him in prison for 5 years. But he pleaded guilty last year to a lesser charge of leaving the scene of a personal injury accident. Weather also made big news last week when severe storms rolled through parts of Iowa on Tuesday morning, bringing tornadoes along with them. One twister touched down near Lacona, south of Des Moines. It was an EF3 twister with winds up to 150 miles an hour. A second tornado landed in Marion County. It was an EF1 with winds up to 110 miles an hour. Some structures were damaged, but fortunately no one was injured. In the world of presidential politics, Iowa style, Democratic hopeful Elizabeth Warren made national news in Sioux City last week. She opened her remarks at a forum on Native American issues by apologizing about her past ancestry claims. She said, in her words, "I know I've made mistakes. I am sorry for the harm I have caused." This all relating back to last October when she released the results of a DNA test that was intended to stop criticism from President Trump and from others who argued that she had wrongly claimed Native American ancestry. Nine other Democratic hopefuls also showed up at the Sioux City Forum, and one of them, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, also turned up at the Field of Dreams baseball diamond in Dyersville. He took part in a game between his staff members and members of a nonprofit group from Cedar Rapids. Sanders pitched during the game and also got at least one base hit, and he also managed to talk about his campaign as well. Also word last week that several top-tier Democratic presidential candidates had launched a flood of TV advertising here in Iowa. California Senator Kamala Harris kicked it all off, spending more than $340,000 for TV ads. Then former Vice President Joe Biden bought nearly $500,000 of ads. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro also made big TV buys. Still in the world of politics, Iowa Republican 4th Congressional District incumbent Steve King held a news conference on Friday. He said the nation's news media had misconstrued his no-abortion, no-exceptions views, but he stood by his belief that there may not be any population of the world left if people conceived by rape and abortion had not been born. Meanwhile, the Des Moines Register reported yesterday that some ethanol leaders in Iowa say President Trump should no longer count on their support in next year's election because of his administration's action to cut fuel demand for ethanol. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency recently let 31 refineries off the hook from a requirement to blend more than a billion gallons of ethanol and biodiesel into their fuel. Also last week, a report that a former clerk specialist in the Iowa Department of Public Safety had issued nearly 6,000 licenses to people who had applied for private investigator, private security, and bail enforcement licenses without doing a proper background check. That clerk, Joe Sheehan Jr., was fired after having worked for the Public Safety Department for 14 years. Meanwhile, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds weighed in on gun issues last week, saying that there are a range of steps Iowa can take to prevent mass shootings, and that the conversation about how to do that should not focus only on new gun laws. She said the state is already heading in the right direction by improving coordination between law enforcement agencies, by providing active shooter training to law enforcement, and by training educators to identify early warning signs in children. There was bad news last week about the spread of an insect that had already killed lots of ash trees around Iowa. State ag officials said the emerald ash borer has now spread to Chickasaw, Franklin, and Jones counties. That makes 69 of Iowa's 99 counties that have been confirmed to have the insect. Story County is indeed one of them, and the city of Ames is in the process of removing about 2,500 ash trees in an effort to keep the emerald ash borer from spreading. Also word last week that a recently discovered data breach at select Hy-Vee locations may be part of a larger theft. The Des Moines Register reported that sources say information stolen from accounts linked to the Hy-Vee breach is being sold under a code name at a website where stolen credit and debit card data is resold. There was a strange story indeed out of northeast Iowa last week where a man pleaded guilty in connection with the death of a woman who had been hit by fragments from a homemade cannon. 31-year-old Max Fenton entered his plea in Delaware County District Court. His improvised cannon was made from the sawed-off barrel of a .50-caliber black powder rifle that was supposed to serve as a noisemaker. Well, the rear of the barrel blew out in Greeley, hitting 55-year-old Lori Himes in the head, killing her. In another case, a Donaldson daycare worker was charged with felony child endangerment last week in connection with the death of a 4-month-old boy. 30-year-old Laura McDowell was the site supervisor at the daycare where Jack Rowland was found unresponsive last December. The boy died in a hospital a week later. There was another case of animal abuse and neglect in Iowa last week, made big news. Just a week after 100 creatures of all kinds were found inside an apartment right here in Ames, 22 dogs, 4 of them dead, were found in a northeast Iowa residence. The Buchanan County Sheriff's Office went to a residence in Brandon. They found the occupant living in poor conditions. That person taken to a hospital. A wildlife rehabilitation and sanctuary group helped take the dogs to other facilities. In Linn County, word that the sheriff's office had spent nearly $300,000 in forfeiture funds to buy an armored rescue vehicle. That vehicle is going to be used to protect emergency responders against active shooters, barricaded armed suspects, and in other high-risk situations. Hundreds of law enforcement agencies around the nation use vehicles like this. Forfeiture funds are money acquired from illegal criminal activity. In Des Moines last week, all kinds of talk about why trains had been stopping across numerous busy streets for as much as several hours at a time. Local business owners said those trains were driving away customers because the customers could not get to their shops. City council members heard all about it at a meeting last week, and they promised to talk to the Union Pacific Railroad about what in the world is going on. There were several stories about the Iowa State Fair that came out last week after the fair had finished its annual run. One was about the record-breaking attendance at this year's fair. More than 1,170,000 people went. That's more than ever before. More than 1 out of 3 state residents went to the fair. That was the positive news. But less positive was the story that all cash awards in one of the Bill Riley talent show categories at the fair had been frozen while officials investigated a complaint about one of the winners. The winner was Samuel Fine, who was awarded $10,000 for his win among competitors 13 to 20 years old. Problem is, contest rules require participants in the Riley Talent Show to be Iowa residents, and there's a question about whether Samuel Fine is a resident. Then there was the story last week about a man who was banned from the fair for life after he told fair officials about alleged animal abuse he had seen at the fair. Officials said the man had been combative. The Des Moines Register talked with a lawyer who said the fair does have the right to eject people, but he also wondered how it could enforce a lifetime ban on someone since more than 1 million people visit the fair each year, and none of them are required to show any proof of identification when they walk in. And one more story about the fair, this one from yesterday's Des Moines Register. Maybe you saw this one. It's about those of us who went to the fair and gorged on all kinds of, well, you know, fair food. How those of us who did all that can cleanse our bodies and get back on a healthy streak. The Register gave 12 tips. Among them, get some sleep. Okay, that sounds about right. Drink lots of water, you bet. Limit your intake of adult beverages. Okay. Exercise and take vitamins. Okay, none of this is brain surgery. Reduce your stress. Drink dandelion tea. And, this is a big one, we all need to reduce our intake of sugar and processed foods. So, Ursula, I might as well tell you, I read this story and that last tip while I was drinking a nice sweet smoothie at my favorite coffee shop hangout on Main Street here in Ames yesterday. But after having that, I did drink a lot of water the rest of the day to flush it out, so maybe that made up for my sugar rush. I hope so. Maybe not, though. That's your summary of the week's news. I'm all full of sugar today, aren't I?
Thank you, Dennis. That was very sweet.
Thank you.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. On the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in, and the tide's gonna turn, and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. We're your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg and Dennis Hart, and thank you for the news summary, Dennis.
You bet. My pleasure.
All registered candidates, presidential candidates, were invited to speak to union members at the Iowa Federation Labor Convention last Wednesday at Prairie Meadows Convention Center in Des Moines, and 16 candidates spoke, telling working class voters and union members where they stood on key issues such as job security, education, health care, and retirement security, and were asking for their support. We're bringing you here what some of the candidates had to say and some of the more interesting points raised by them. AFL-CIO has not yet endorsed a candidate for presidency. There are about 185,000 union members in Iowa on labor issues. The first speaker you will be hearing is Cory Booker, junior United States Senator from New Jersey, previously the mayor of Newark, New Jersey.
Actually, my family is from Des Moines. What's more interesting is that my family moved to a town called Buxton, Iowa. It was a town they called American Utopia. It was really the American dream before we fully achieved it. European immigrants and black migrants from the South actually joined together in labor. They would go down in the mines, black and white, and carve out from the earth their American dream. This is who we are. We are a nation that comes from hard work, from the dignity of labor, from the idea that if you are willing to work hard, join with your brothers and sisters, we could be the country that is the example for the world. I'm here today with a deep recognition of where I came from. And you're here because you come from folks who stood for each other, fought for each other, sometimes had to die for each other. My granddad, who married that Iowa woman, my grandma, he was a UAW worker. He worked on the assembly lines. The family got out of poverty on his side because they found work. And again, blacks and whites working together during World War II. That is our proud tradition. That is who we are. But now we're at a point in America where unions are under assault. And it's no shock that as union membership has been going down, we've seen wages in this country remain stagnant. We see unions under attack here in Iowa, people trying to find creative ways to get around Davis-Bacon. You see these so-called right-to-work laws, which are assaults not just on unions, but on the ideals that unions fight for every single day. We have an obligation now, because if we allow unions to continue to be on the defensive, if labor and the dignity of work is on the defensive in this country, if we see leaders in offices in places like Washington doing the kind of things that weaken the bonds of this nation, we will lose our dream. We got to start defining ourselves by what we're for and who we're for. This election is not a referendum on one guy in one office. This election is a referendum on us, on what we stand for and what we're willing to fight for. The highest thing Democrats seem to want, according to the polls and the pundits, is someone that can beat Donald Trump. And what I have to say is, can't we have bigger aspirations than that? We can't allow our nation to fall into deeper and deeper tribalism. This is the time, this is the moral moment that we've got to come together. And I'll tell you, we can't let that which we're against to pervert our hearts to make us into something we're not. We win how we've won before. We win how we got workers' rights, how we got civil rights, how we've got women's rights. We win how America has always won, by getting people off the sidelines, by letting them know that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, by getting folks to stand up and fight for our values, energizing people, because democracy is a verb. If we can reignite the patriotism of our country and get people to understand that this is how we beat demagogues and fear-mongers before, by coming together, by reviving the ideals of civic grace, by having a more courageous empathy for our fellow Americans at the shirtwaist factory fire. It was Americans that came together and said, that is unconscionable, that is unacceptable. This is a moral moment just like that. We have common cause and common purpose. Hell, we have common pain in this country. The next leader of our party can't be someone that is a safe bet. Oh, let's just find the person that can triangulate and get this done so we can beat Donald Trump. I'm running in this election because I know we can do more than that. The American dream is not possible without unions. It's not possible without public education. It's not possible without health care. And so I end with this. If you go to where Martin Luther King was shot in my parents' generation, you'll see words there from Scripture, but it ain't about religion. It's about our civic gospel. It says, behold, here cometh the dreamer. Let us slay him and see what becomes of the dream. We now have to answer in our generation what will become of the dream. The dream that our ancestors fought for and died for. The dreams that they woke up their neighbors and their friends and were willing to come together and stand together and work for. This is a referendum on the dream. And I believe now we cannot let our dream become diminished or divided against itself. We've got to stand up, united, and say, I too dream America. I will dream this country anew. I'll dream with defiance. I'll dream with love. And I'll back it up with work. If we dream like that and work like that in this election, we won't die in the pit. We won't just get rid of Donald Trump. We will rise. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you to Senator Booker. Vice President Biden.
I was raised to understand that there's only reason we have a middle class is unions, not labor, unions, organized labor, unions. In fact, the union movement is your right to organize, and you're the only counterweight out there to corporate greed. There's been a war on labor's house for a long time now, well over two decades. Right here in Iowa, you've been in the front lines. You've had to deal with two great governors, Branstad and Reynolds, and a right-wing legislature that has gone out of its way to gut labor protections, the public sector unions, collective bargaining rights. But not just here in Iowa, all across America it's happening. It's all about greed. It's not only about trying to break unions, it's about attempting to eliminate the ability of individuals to be able to organize. Over the last 15 years, you have about 40% of the major corporations, when you go to work for them, the Fortune 500, you got to sign an agreement to say you will not discuss your wages with any other employee. What's that all about? It's all about being able to continue to pay women less. It's all about being able to not have you compete for higher wages and say, look, Charlie's doing what I'm doing. I'm getting less. It's all about greed. It's all about pushing down wages. And what do we do with those wages? They all go to stockholders. They go to corporate entities that, in fact, do not count anybody as being part of their obligation other than their shareholders. Ladies and gentlemen, the same thing happens about overtime. 4 million people were classified as management last year who were no more management than I can fly. It's wrong. It's simply wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I watched you all on television when in 17, you all ended up going to the Capitol, and you said, enough is enough. You haven't given up. Don't give up now. The fact is, you've made some real success here, too. You know, you had General Mills in the Cedar Rapids plant, Hilton Garden in Dubuque, and now staffed by proud union members. And I promise you, if I'm elected your president, I promise you, collective bargaining right will be sacred in my administration. So, folks, and I assure you one last thing. There will be no trade agreement in my administration without organized labor sitting at the table. Thank you all very much.
Thanks. Thank you to Vice President Biden for your remarks. From Colorado, Senator Michael Bennett.
Thank you. For the past 40 years, 9 out of 10 Americans haven't seen a pay raise. Inequality is higher today than it's been in 100 years. The rise of China and global markets, automation, technology, attacks on organized labor at the state and federal level have put working families through the wringer. And it's shameful to me that as Democrats, and I say this as a proud Democrat, that we lost a jobs argument to Donald Trump, someone who filed for bankruptcy 6 times, who couldn't even make money off a casino, who ripped off the mechanics, painters, and waiters who worked for him. We lost to him because nobody had any idea what our party stood for. And that's why I proposed the most significant investment in working people in generation. My plan has 3 points. First, we will invest $500 billion in the 70% of Americans without a 4-year college degree, who have been left completely behind in this economy and forgotten by the politicians in Washington, so that they can earn a living wage when they graduate high school, not just the minimum wage. We will expand proven models of job training, like the registered apprenticeships unions have built for decades. We know they're the gold standard for training people to earn a living wage. In addition to high-quality training, we will create an incentive for employers to hire and keep people that have long been out of work, including people on public assistance, people on disabilities, and those who have served time. We'll scale up summer jobs and vocational training again so young people can get off to a strong start earning a living wage and not just a minimum wage in this economy. Second, we need to make work pay again in this country. And of course, that starts with increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour, but that's not nearly enough. To really help the middle class, we need to dramatically expand the child tax credit and scale up the earned income tax credit, as Senator Brown and I have proposed. For a typical family of 4, my plan would put $2,000 in their pocket every year. We need to pass real paid family and medical leave so workers can take care of a young child or an aging parent without fear of losing their jobs or their earning potential. And at the same time, we need to empower workers by supporting collective bargaining, rolling back the attacks at the state level, and cracking down on corporate abuses. Third, we need to make sure workers are the first people that we think about when the economy begins to tank, not the last. That's why my plan takes immediate and automatic action to support workers when the economy begins to slow and creates a fast-track infrastructure fund to put people to work. It is long past time for us to move beyond this reality TV show and get on with the work our country needs us to do.
Thank you, Senator Bennett. Our next candidate for president is Senator Amy Klobuchar of our neighbor to the north, Minnesota.
Thank you so much. Here's some of my ideas as we go forward. Number one, we should never hold our federal employees and the employees of federal contractors hostage for political gain. And after Iowa Supreme Court's decision, we have to stand up for full collective bargaining rights for all public sector employees. We have to pass a law because of what these are, the guys have been doing, what they've been doing across the country to make it clear that no one can take away your right to negotiate for fair wages and fair working conditions. And when it comes to trade agreements and infrastructure discussions, the working people represented by the unions will have a strong voice and a seat at the table in my administration. Because economic strength and stability only comes when there is shared prosperity, when we have strong worker protections in place, and when, as my mentor, Senator Paul Wellstone, who we miss every day in Minnesota, said, we all do better when we all do better. We have to look out for workers. That means bringing down the cost of prescription drugs for everyone in this country. It means investing in stormwater systems across the state. It means improving roads like the one to the airport. It means strengthening our Iowa levies. Strengthen the National Labor Relations Act. Stop the attack on unions and roll back the right to work laws across this country. And we must make it easier, not harder, for workers to form unions. Thank you, AFL-CIO.
Thank you, Senator Klobuchar. Our next speaker from Vermont, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. We have just introduced the strongest pro-union platform in the history of American politics. It's at BernieSanders.com, and I would hope you read it. What you know and what I know is that the only way we rebuild the crumbling middle class, the only way we provide dignity and security for tens of millions of workers, is when we rebuild the trade union movement in this country. Let me tell you a little bit about how we are going to do that. My goal is to double the number of people in trade unions over the first 4 years of my administration. We're going to do it by the implementation of the workplace democracy plan that I announced today. And here's some, just some, of what is in that plan. Today, as all of you know, millions of workers want to join unions but are unable to do so because of employer opposition. Under my plan, when 50% of workers in a unit sign a card plus one, they have a union, end of discussion. And if employers refuse to negotiate the union contract in good faith, we will impose strong penalties against those employers. Workers will get a first contract. Under my plan, we will end so-called right-to-work laws in Iowa and other states around this country. Under my plan, we will make sure that all public employees in Iowa and throughout this country have the right to organize and bargain collectively. Not only for decent wages, but for decent benefits, safe working conditions, and reliable schedules. In other words, we will essentially repeal the disastrous Chapter 20 law that took away those rights in Iowa by a Republican governor and that legislature. Under our labor law, companies will no longer be able to ruthlessly exploit workers by misclassifying them as independent contractors or deny them overtime by falsely calling them a supervisor. Under our plan, we will adequately fund the multi-employer pension program so that workers in the Midwest and throughout this country get the pensions that they were promised. Every union worker in America will have the right to strike, including those working for the federal government, and we will ban replacement of striking workers once and for all. In addition, I'm very proud to tell you that I have the legislation in the Senate that will raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour, something long overdue. And we will finally guarantee health care to every man, woman, and child as a human right under a Medicare for All single-payer program. We must come together, black and white and Latino, Native American, Asian American. We must come together and stand up for the working families of this country. And finally, create an economy and a government that works for all of us, not just the 1%. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Senator Sanders. Secretary Julian Castro.
It is with tremendous respect and humility that I come before you, the AFL-CIO of Iowa, that I know is doing such great work in trying to expand the numbers of people who are represented by unions. My vision for the future of our country is that in the years to come, our United States should be the smartest, the healthiest, the fairest, and the most prosperous nation on earth. Everything from universal child care to pre-K for 3- and 4-year-olds, paying teachers what they deserve, and improving K through 12 education, investing in trade programs in high schools and partnerships with labor and community colleges and businesses, and also ensuring that we make higher education universal by going tuition-free at public state universities, community colleges, and job training and certification programs, and passing the Equality Act and the Equal Rights Amendment so that no matter who you are, you can't be discriminated against in this country. Raising the minimum wage to at least $15 an hour. As the folks here know, $15 an hour has been the rallying cry for a while, but really we need more than that. I believe that we should automatically index our minimum wage going forward so that we don't need to go and fight every decade, because it's been a decade since it was raised last time. We don't need to fight all the time to get that thing raised. And it's interesting that Congress always seems more willing to give itself a pay raise than to raise the minimum wage for workers across the country. If I'm elected president, I will appoint a Secretary of Labor who will champion the ability of labor unions to organize and crack down on companies that illegally try and stop people from organizing. I will also ensure that labor has a voice throughout the administration and work with labor organizations across the states to push states to do the right thing. And finally, if we're going to be more prosperous, we also have to ensure that we do things like invest in housing that's affordable. Here in the Des Moines area, for instance, people have seen the rent keep going up and up. We have a rental affordability crisis. We have more people that are sleeping on the streets at night. I've put forward a housing plan that calls for significant investment in housing that's affordable to the middle class, to the working poor, and to the poor. And throughout this campaign, I have not forgotten about the people who are poor. We've talked a lot in the last couple of decades about the middle class and the working class for good reason. But I reject the notion that just because somebody is poor, that something is wrong with them. I believe that we need to champion an inclusive agenda for people who are struggling, who are trying to make it. We also have to tackle the most existential threat to the future of this nation, which is climate change. If I'm elected president, my first executive order will be to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord so that we lead again on sustainability. And then follow that up with an investment to create great jobs in the clean energy economy so that the United States and not China or another country leads when it comes to great jobs in the new energy economy. Muchísimas gracias. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you very much.
the senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren.
Unions built America's middle class, and unions will rebuild America's middle class. If you're looking for a partner in the White House, then that's who I will be. On every major decision, unions will have a seat at the table. Whether we're talking about health care or trade or transportation or manufacturing policy, unions will have a seat at the table. And the reason for that is because I truly believe this is how we're going to fix what's broken in our economy. We have had a problem now for decades. The government in Washington is working great for giant oil companies. It's just not working for people who are worried about climate change. It's working great for giant drug companies, just not for people who are trying to get a prescription filled. When you've got a government that works great for those who can hire armies of lobbyists and lawyers and make huge campaign contributions and set up their own think tanks and bought and paid for experts, but it's not working for working people, that is corruption. Pure and simple, and we need to call it out for what it is. Corruption that keeps this government working great for big pharma, for big banks, for big ag, for big tech, and not for working people. So I got three ideas about what we do about that. Number one, we have to attack the corruption head on. We've got to be willing to go after it, call it out for what it is, regardless of what party it is in, and just say we're in all the way to fight it. Part two is we got to restructure the heart of this economy. Too many giant corporations that are exercising more and more and more power. Power in this economy, power in this government, and raking off more and more of the profits. The way I see it is to get structural change, you've got to get power back into the hands of workers. That means make it easier to join a union and give unions more power when they negotiate. So it's time for a wealth tax in America. That's a 2-cent tax, 2 cents on the top 0.1% of great fortunes in this country. So here's how it is. Your first $50 million in accumulated wealth, you keep it free and clear. I know some of you are saying, phew. But on your 50 millionth and first dollar, you got to pitch in 2 cents. And 2 cents for every dollar after that. And what could we do with 2 cents in America? We could provide universal child care for every baby in this country age 0 to 5. Raise the wages of every child care worker and preschool teacher to the professional levels they deserve. We can also, with that money, provide tuition-free, technical training, 2-year college, 4-year college, for everybody who wants to get some more education. We can help level the playing field, put $50 billion into our historically black colleges and universities, and we can cancel student loan debt for 95% of the kids who have student loan debt outstanding. You bet. And one more thing we can do with that money. There is enough money there that we can attack the opioid crisis head on and bring it down. And just one more I want to mention. Overturn Citizens United. Democracy is not for sale. I'm fighting for an America that doesn't just work for a thin slice at the top. I'm fighting for an America that works for all of us. And that means we've got to have an America where we attack the corruption head on. An America where we know to restructure this economy so all the profits aren't going to the top, but they're going to the hardworking people who get it done. And an America that protects its democracy. Thank you all.
Thank you to Senator Warren.
case you were wondering, that was a recording of what happened last week, last Wednesday, at Prairie Meadows Convention Center in Des Moines, the Iowa Federation Labor Convention, where 16 of the presidential candidates came to talk about labor issues, and we just played a sampling of some of the candidates, the last of which you heard was Elizabeth Warren.
And now let's take a look at what's going to be happening next week and beyond, and we are pleased to welcome back one of our regulars from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, Crystal Davis, on this Monday. Welcome to Local Talk again.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. Well, we're all excited to hear what's going on, so why don't you kick it off?
Well, yeah. Can you believe it's the last week of August, and we're easing into September?
It's fall.
Yeah, it's
autumn
fall.
Autumn is coming.
Back to school. And so sometimes back to school here in Ames means a lot more activities and events start to ramp back up. So it's going to be a very busy time here at Ames and at Iowa State University. And you all are going to have so many choices on what there is to do and play out there here in the community. So
suddenly Ames is full of people again.
It's full of people again, and we welcome them. Yes. So with that, I encourage everyone to check out websites. So for example, there's always live music at Snooze Hill Winery or at Ryman Gardens. There's always a plethora of events happening there. Yep. School's back in session, so Cyclone Cinema will start back up, which is put on by the Student Union Board, and free movies for the community and for students. And of course, our favorite Iowa State University sports ramps back up. So we just encourage you to look up on their websites, check out the schedules, get out there and choose what you want to do. But we could get into some specifics. It's opening this week. We've got a great exhibit that's going to open up down here in downtown Ames on Main Street, and it's called an interactive exhibit. It kicks off at ISU Design on Main, and it's called Hide and Seek, and this is by artist Julia Franklin. It's going to be on display down here. She's originally from Wichita Falls, Texas, but she's now here in Iowa. She's going to be showcasing her exhibit, and it originates from her memories of her childhood in the early 70s and 80s. So I'm down here on Main Street at ISU Design on Main, and that goes all month.
Okay.
If you're interested in learning more about bicycling or else taking a fun and casual ride with some of your friends and neighbors, Skunk River Cycles is hosting Skunk River Mellow Mondays starting next week on Monday, going through the month of September. You can come down here to Skunk River Cycles in downtown Ames at 4:30 and gather, and they go on a low-key ride on some low-traffic roads. So it's open to anyone. If you're under 18, please come with your adult or guardian or come with permission. And it's just a real nice way to get some exercise and not have to worry too much about those big hills and things. So a fun thing to do.
What if you're way over the age of 18 like I am?
Oh, yeah, you are most welcome.
Oh, I'm okay.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely. Everyone's invited. Yeah. Okay. And just because it's starting to get a little crisp in the air and it's fall, our farmers markets are still going. So we encourage you to go to both our farmers markets. We have two. We're so lucky. We have one at North Grand Farmers Market that's up on the north side of North Grand Mall. And then we also have one on Ames Main Street. And they're every Saturday through October. They start at 8 a.m. And so they've got great produce, great vegetables, locally made crafts. And so I always say make the loop and do both of them on Saturday and get your fresh goodies for some great meals for the rest of the week.
You might even be able to get a table in the middle of Main Street and have your breakfast
there.
That's
right.
Lots of people do that.
And you'll always see someone that you know. Come down here and I always run into at least one or more people. So also coming up, we've got another art exhibit that's opening, and that is in the React Gallery with University Museums, and that's going to open up on September 4th, starting at 4 o'clock in the Ryman Gallery at Morrill Hall on campus. And the topic of this gallery is It Starts With Us, Civility and the 21st Century Land Grant Mission. So this is an exercise in civil discourse as you explore and respond to the React Gallery. And they will have Dr. Rosa will be the faculty guest curator. We'll deliver some remarks and get you started on what this new gallery is going to be like. And then followed on the next day on September 5th, they will have It Starts With Us gallery chat. And these go all through the month of September as well, over the noon hour at Morrill Hall as well, and where you can take a break from your day and join members of the ISU community as they lead informal discussions about various themes on civility and the 21st land grant mission. So something to look forward to as well as
okay.
they reopen. For a little bit of a lighter topic, you can come down and meet Fuel, which is formerly called Young Professional of Ames. They're hosting an event called Spill the Beans, and this is on Thursday, September 5th, starting at 7:30 a.m. They're going to host this at Cafe Diem, and so this is a way for you to come, mingle, maybe find out what Fuel Story County is about, and have a great cup of coffee as well as you begin your day with Fuel. Well, you know, it's fall, so there's a lot of sports and people are outside and tailgating, but Cook's Emporium has a great way for you to get ready to perfect your game day appetizers and snacks. So they're having a demonstration that'll be on September 5th downtown here, starting at 6 o'clock. And as always, you get taste the samples of what they make, and as you learn, meet some new people, too, mm-hmm. when you come down. So, mm-hmm. do you guys like the music at the Campanile? Well, we've got a special concert sure. coming up. So this is called the C-Hop Festival, and it's an acronym, C-HOP Festival. And this is Friday, September 6th and Saturday, September 7th. And that acronym stands for Carillon, Harpsichord, Organ, and Piano.
Oh.
And so we invite you to check out the website at ISU Music, and they will have a festival of Eastern European music for those instruments. And they've got some guests. Performers from Belgium, some from Iowa, some from Michigan. So what a great opportunity to hear some great music through the carillon, the harpsichord, organ, and piano.
And it's going to be on the main campus mm-hmm. green there, right,
right
around the Campanile.
Absolutely.
All right.
And they'll have some also in the recital hall in the music room, too, at an ISU campus indoors. So okay. Indoors and outdoors. All so right. a great thing to check out as well. Our friends in Campus Town are hosting all month on Fridays what they call FAC, or Fridays Around Campus Down. And it's a series of events held the four Fridays in September. And what they want to do is kind of make sure everyone knows that you're welcome there, and get the students involved and kind of get them familiar with what happens in Campus Town, that there's great organizations and great things to do there. And they'll have a mobile app that they're using where you can get special deals and discounts and earn points towards some great goodies. And so what a fun way to learn about Campus Town and the community as well. And those are Fridays mm-hmm. all day into the evening through September.
Okay.
Yeah. Coming up Saturday, September 7th, is the Ames Pride Fest that's happening down here in downtown Ames. And they'll have their annual celebration of the LGBTQIA plus community. And so all day entertainment, educational programming, they have some great vendors. And so another great way to spend your Saturday downtown with Ames Pride Fest on September 7th. So we say it's fall, but we're also thinking about a holiday tradition, the Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're interested in trying out to be part of the Nutcracker that happens in December, they've got auditions already on September 7th. So those will be at Stevens Auditorium, kind of starting at noon through the afternoon and evening. And check out the Iowa State Center website for more information on that.
Really, one of those legendary shows you ought to take your kids to see.
Yes,
once,
at least once, if not
yeah,
more.
Absolutely.
It's great. Also happening in Campus Town early in September is Crafts and Drafts. If you like to craft a little while you enjoy a great craft beer, this is the place for you. Saturday, September 7th, 1 to 6, and it's open to the public. They're going to have some crafts hosted by our friends at the MU Workspace. Creative, fun activity, and fun for everyone involved.
Okay.
Do you guys like to canoe or run or bike?
Well, yes, we like to do all of that.
Well, we've got a great, yes. Well, on September 8th, which is a Sunday, it's the 13th annual Great Ames Adventure Race, affectionately known as GAR.
GAR.
And so this is an amateur athletic event for all ages and abilities, and it's a paddle bike run event. And so this is right up north at Ada Hayden Heritage Park. And so it's a family event with some great scenery right here in Northern Ames. So you're welcome to try that out. And
you've registered for that in advance?
You do. If you can register in advance, they'd love that. But they probably will also help you out if you show up the day of mm-hmm. too. So,
Crystal, we have about 30 seconds
yes.
left.
You pick
the next big one here.
The next big one. Well, there's so many to do. But there's a fun thing with a wolf walk out at the Iowa Arboretum on September 15th where you can bring your family dog with you to walk around outside.
That's for you, Dennis.
That's for
Did
you.
Did you say a wolf walk?
W-O-O-F.
A wolf. Wolf walk.
Wolf walk, yeah.
My experience with dogs is that they attack me, I don't know that I really do. But talk about this one. Wolf walk.
Yeah, so you can bring your favorite four-legged friend with you to enjoy the great outdoors. Great scenery out there at the Iowa Arboretum, but there's so much to do.
It's like a wild woman thing, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wild
so there's
woman.
There's one out at McFarland Park at the end of September. This is hosted by Story County Conservation, but it's designed to give women the opportunity to explore the outdoors. They'll do kayaking, fishing, Dutch oven cooking, and so they do require registration for that. So much. Brenier Art Museum will reopen this month. Be on the lookout for that.
For those of you who can't see Crystal right now, she's gone through just a few of them. Yeah. It looks like about 40 pages here.
Single space, both sides. So much going on.
I know.
Where do you go to find out everything?
Right. So thinkames.com. Click on our event calendar in the upper right-hand corner, and we've got something going on every day. You can pick and choose what you want to do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Always
Crystal.
Always a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah. This is Local Talk, and as we head out, Dennis, I just want to check in real quickly with you about the wild ones. Okay. We didn't talk about this at the top of the hour, but let's go out with your wild one story.
This happened Friday night. I live in Old Town, and I'm walking on 9th between Douglas and Kellogg.
Okay, because you walk around.
I walk around a lot, yeah. And I see a lot of animals. I see rabbits and squirrels and chipmunks and all this. And I'm approaching an alley, and at the alley, there is a power pole with a crossbar on it. And I'm walking into the alley, and I hear this noise behind me coming from up above, and I figure it's some sort of bird chirping at me. And I turn around, look into the branches, no bird. It is a squirrel sitting on the crossbar looking straight down at me, and he starts chattering at me.
Yeah.
He literally grunts at me and squeaks at me. So I figure he wants to talk to me. So I start talking to him. I say, hey, buddy, how are you? That's what he's doing. Looking right down on me from that crossbar.
Oh, yeah, no, he's talking to you.
He's talking to me. So I talked back. And we kept this going for a couple of minutes. I admitted it was a one-sided conversation. I don't think either one of us knew what the other was saying. But when I went home and told my wife about it, she thought I was crazy. I just want you to know this.
I'm pretty sure I know what he was saying to you.
What was he saying?
He was saying, get out of my alley.
I think he was, too. Now, here's the crazy thing. I walked the exact same route Saturday night and Sunday night looking for him, and I was disappointed he wasn't there.
He
was going to make it a date with me, the whole, you know, on this walk-in thing.
I'll tell you, I was once walking in the woods here, one of the parks in Ames, and I swear to God, I saw this. A squirrel was up in the trees.
Yes.
And he tried to jump from one tree to the next, and he missed.
He fell in
front of me. And boy, he was really mad.
He was, you know, the chattering. Uh-huh.
He was really, really ticked off. So it's good to know that even squirrels sometimes miss their mark.
All I can say is if that squirrel is listening to this broadcast, the one who talked to me Friday night, I'll be there tonight about the same time. Come on by.
Well, we do have a large squirrel audience on Local Talk. So.
They're not squirrely, though, are they?
Not squirrely at all.
Okay.
No.
All right. Okay.
So anyway, thank you for joining us this morning or today on Local Talk. We've been here with Crystal Davis. Thank you, Crystal, for being with us again from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I've been one of your hosts, Ursula Rudenberg, here with Mr. Dennis Hart.
Local Talk, as you know, is on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. And you can also listen to today's entire broadcast and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website. That's khoifm.org, khoifm.org. There you'll also find information about the people you heard today on the show, along with contact information and links to the people, places, and things we talked about. Local Talk engineered today by the wonderful Cynthia McClure. Thank you, Cynthia. Our theme song, Backtracking, by Al Harris and Tom Richards, from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton and something we all liked, another one we all liked.
We had no idea what it was. It was mislabeled, but we liked it anyway.
We'll play it again.
We will play it again. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, and we do need some more reporters, especially with the caucus time coming in. So that means you can be part of Local Talk if you're interested in being trained as a volunteer reporter. We will train you, and you will find it very interesting, I promise you. We do. If you'd like to join the team, contact us at 292-2878 or just go to our website, khoifm.org. So, and remember, if you enjoyed this show, tell your friends, and remember that your participation as an audience makes KHOI possible as well as meaningful. Thank you for listening. And Dennis, where will they see us again?
See you again on the radio, even if you're a squirrel.